All right, guys, welcome to Puck Off. It's playoff time, and Joe Bartnick, what do you think?
I am so happy, Frazier. My level's good. The great Anthony Johnny Bench is back.
You got to love Bench being back.
Bench being back behind the plate.
There he is.
We love everybody here.
Yeah.
The sideshow's the
good
best.
Good sideshow's awesome.
He's here. Make sure to look. We have a great Nate Craig.
Craig is awesome, too.
Good to be here, gentlemen.
We love him.
Welcome back, playoff time. I'm going to say, last time we spoke, I was, I don't even know if we get past Columbus. Jesus Christ, we got into them. Now, to think about this. This was the best effort I've seen in 5 years.
From your team?
Last night.
Really?
3-0. Everybody looked like they wanted the cup in unison. Malkin's diving. Sid's diving. Everyone's playing the body. Everyone's engaged. Everyone's back-checking. It was a total full effort. They look like a team that at least can go to the conference finals. I don't know what could happen. I'll get into my theory on the Bruins and all that. But, I mean, it was just – and also last time we spoke, there was a chance that the Flyers might still be playing. But, no, have you ever seen the Flyers win the cup?
He's just been waiting to sing that song.
I love it. Yeah. Hey, Giroux.
Thank God there's only one verse.
Hey, Giroux, I hope you don't hurt your hand golfing this summer again. I love it.
Well, you know, playoff hockey, I will say, is very exciting.
It is.
It really is
it's
exciting.
It's the best.
And, and me and Nate, and I'll just enable everyone else to, me and Nate went and saw game one of the Kings and the Ducks at the beach, on Venice Beach, right? On Venice Beach, we're at the game.
Right.
Tons of hot chicks, dogs. It's Venice Beach.
Oh, how do you beat that?
You can't beat it. So yeah. We're in our own zone. We're watching with our table. We had a nice young lady and another hockey friend of ours. All of a sudden, when the Kings tied it, there was a roar like you're watching the bar in Pittsburgh or New York or Toronto. It was amazing that the beach
great to
was
see the Kings
hockey.
Fans and the LA fans. Now, would you say more fans are Kings fans?
Definitely.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Of course, you were where? Where were you?
Venice Beach.
In Venice. All right, so it's going to be that way. Mm-hmm. But Duck fans down in OC?
Definitely. Well, I mean, yeah, they got a solid fan base down there. I mean, they fill out that Honda Center all the time.
Right.
Now, that was pretty.
They keep a good team down there, so they got to have, you know, a pretty healthy fan base. But I don't know if that's just because there's nothing else to do in Anaheim, but.
But they're not in Venice with the cute girls.
Definitely not.
No. Yeah. Well, they have some cute girls.
I know. They do it down in Orange County, too. I know. Now, I got to say, Kings look good. Ducks look good.
Yeah.
They both look good.
Yeah, they looked really good.
Amazing game. My wife texted me when I was at the – she's like, what a game. You know it's a good game when I'm not home and my wife is watching it. I mean,
it was a heck of a game. Yeah, it was a great game.
First of all, I mean, how about Solani? Are you kidding me?
He's unbelievable.
He's older than me, I think. Just coming down, boom, forehand, backhand, passed quick.
I don't know how he moves that fast. He's a big dude moving very quickly at 45.
He's 43.
Yeah.
43
years old.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. He's playing great.
I'm not saying he's on the juice, but he's doing lots of yoga.
Those
HGH smoothies are working.
I'm a Kings fan, but if you lose to Timu Solani doing that, like, I don't care. I just love seeing Solani.
He's a legend who's still keeping it going.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Yeah. Are you kidding? Like, that was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then how about Gavrik? 2 goals.
Gavrik. Now, we talked about it when they got him.
Yeah.
You know, they needed a score, and they got him at the deadline. And then he didn't do much for a while there. And I kept asking. I didn't know anything. So I kept saying, well, is he doing anything? And he wasn't really doing anything. Now he's paying off.
He's paying off. And they got him grand
big time.
Theft
yeah.
Larceny for Fratton. How many weeks did I sat here and say, that was ridiculous that the Kings traded Bernier for Fratton. Fratton's a skirt. I mean, you know, Sutter must have, he probably lost 10 years of his life watching Fratton skate around. I mean, that was the ultimate anti-Sutter. You know,
right.
Skating around the edges, even weak shots in the goalie's chest, never taking the body. Think he went to Columbus. Good.
Well,
stay
this
in
guy,
Columbus the rest of your career, Fratton.
This guy, Gavrik.
What a joke. What a joke. I can't even imagine putting on an NHL uniform and playing like that. Right? I mean, you play hockey. I mean, would you just go out there like that and
people,
not even compete?
People make careers out of it. I don't know. It's just something. Just, it gives coaches and talent evaluators
something
to be pissed about. I don't know.
Get him a costume.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
There was a guy I knew in college played exactly like that, and he was untouchable. And sure enough, he got a shot at the league, and he wound up playing in the league. And I'm not going to name any names, but
name some names.
He played super soft, and my point is, it's happening.
Ian Bag would name names.
Well, that's why everyone in Pittsburgh's pissed at him. Now, the thing about Gabrick is, Gabrick doesn't really go out there and mix it up either. In fact, I was watching Barry Melrose was saying that's what a real goal scorer does. He goes away from the action.
He
knows how to get open. He doesn't fight it out in front of the crease. He kind of maneuvers around and is slippery and sneaky, and he's awesome.
Brett Hall. I was calling Bob. I was like, Brett Hall. He made 700 goals doing that. That's what goal scorers do.
That's what Barry Melrose was saying. Yeah. He goes, you don't have to be a mix-it-up guy in front. He goes, if you've got those little moves and you know where to go. Kind of like Rodman in basketball. Remember, he was always in the right spot. He was only 6'10", but he was always there to get that rebound because he knew where to go. That's what Gabrick reminds me
of.
At the right spot.
That's what I loved about my daughter. When she was playing soccer, she quit. She just didn't like it anymore. She's in the basketball. But she knew how to – and the coach would be like, Amaze, she's six. She's like, she knew how not to get in the scrum of the eight little kids. You know, she knew how to stand away. The ball comes to you, bury it.
Yeah.
But there's a difference, though, between finding the opening and just never getting in the lane. And that's what Fratton did here.
Well, there's a difference.
It's not his fault that Bernier was traded for him. They gave up a good goaltender. But, I mean, how about Quickie, though?
Quickie's playing over out of control, man. He's unbelievable. That's what he's known for, and that's what he's doing.
And he's back on top. And the other one is for the Kings is
Kopitar.
The captain right there.
Is a monster.
Are you kidding me?
In fact, that goal, that Gabrick's goal was all Kopitar.
All Kopitar
was awesome in that game.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, they really – I said the surprise – on a different podcast, though, my buddies. I'm this hockey guy. I said – watch the Kings are my surprise pick, and that's when they were down 3-1.
Yeah, I don't want any part of the Kings.
As they were down 3-1, I was like, "Hey, the Kings literally put on a game 7. They stepped on the Sharks' balls, and kicked them in the face."
Well, Quick played a lot. He stood on his head in that game too. But
the Sharks are, I mean, they swept. They swept the Sharks out in four. I mean, they're down 0-3, but I mean, four games.
The Sharks are
not a crap team.
No, they're a very good team. Another thing Barry Melrose pointed out. He goes, they came back on a good team.
Yes, they did.
You know, and they're playing great. How about Alec Martinez with that kick save?
Yes.
Come on, man.
It's pretty great. You know, we were talking about this, too, because I was rooting for Anaheim just because I didn't want any part of the Kings.
Chicago Blackhawk fan.
And Joe was like, I don't ever do that. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, I just don't ever do that. Because then you find yourself, you root for the other team, and then all of a sudden that team's hot. They're better than the team that you were rooting against. Then your team loses to the team that you wanted to play, and then it's your fault.
I can see his point, yeah.
I'm very superstitious.
Yeah, I can see.
And then watching that game, sure enough, I was watching. I was like, I don't want any part of Anaheim either. They're a real strong team.
Anaheim's tough, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they look good, too.
This series is not over by any
means. Solani looks great. And
our taping is only game one. I mean, Getzlaff and Perry haven't got on the roll yet either, which I'm sure they will.
Now, are they going to stick with Hiller?
It's Barbecue Bruce.
You never know.
That's why I think his pumpkin – I mean, he barely got past the great Lindy Ruff. So, I mean,
loves Lindy Ruff.
Love Lindy Ruff. Wait.
You know he's awesome. I like him, too.
It's Lindy Ruff.
Yeah.
I tell you what, if Barbecue Bruce was coaching the Dallas Stars, the Anaheim wouldn't have had to worry about him because they wouldn't have been in the playoffs.
They wouldn't have gone anywhere.
They would have been playing Vancouver would have been in the playoffs.
Well, you can't really fault Hiller on that last game. That was a pretty tight game.
Oh, the incredible pass. I mean, look at Kopitar. Yeah. I mean, Kopitar willed. Who was his – what country is he from? Like Crimea, whatever, some little country that didn't exist.
Formerly Crimea.
Yeah, something like – no, Crimea is what they're invading right now. Whatever country he was on, forgive me, Andrzej, that team was in the medal round.
He's Serbian, isn't he? No.
Yeah, is that what he is?
I don't know.
Slovenian.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
So that's what I mean. So it was him. Start with an F. It was him in minor leaguers from Slovenia, and they were in the medal round. I mean, the guy's a. I mean,
he's
the
pretty.
A winner.
He's pretty awesome.
And he's a Selke candidate, and he can score. And the other guy is. I think Williams is so underrated.
Williams is awesome.
He's Slovenian in the face.
He comes
that
over.
There's not a more Slovenian looking motherfucker than Anze Kopitar. Look at that.
You can't find him.
He looks like he was raised on a mountain, a mountaintop, and. Transylvania.
His dad was a coach. That's why he played.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then did you watch any of
he's on Jay the Impaler.
Did you watch any of the backstories? Like his super, super ridiculously hot wife was trying to adopt all the stray dogs that were in Russia.
Boy, that's going to take you a while.
And she took a couple of very cute ones. And then America wouldn't let her in because she had to get her rabies shots and everything. But they ended up finding a nice home for him. It's like, only America would like, no, don't bring in two dogs. You know?
Yeah, come on. That's
But well, enough of the
well,
intrigue.
You know, good to see him coming alive there. He looks great.
Yeah,
and it's going to be a good series.
I said that to you, too. I was like, somebody's going to make it. This game's not going to end on a garbage goal. Somebody's going to make a sick play.
That was the beauty of that game was every goal was completely legitimate as far as a sick play. Yeah, I mean, I mean, Kopitar's to me in the top. So I think he's a top five player.
Yes.
100%. I call him West Coast Malkin. We'll do the Penguins in a bit because I got an hour on him. But Malkin made some back check last night that was like – oh, yeah.
Malkin was playing well.
Yeah, like I say, when Malkin's the best player and the Penguins were the best team in hockey. And Sid.
I will say this about Sid. He looked great.
He looked great last night.
I know he hasn't had the goals, and he's been in a drought.
Right.
But, man, his skating last night, he was in the game. He looked great.
It was the superpowers last night. It really was. It was like, I think there's a thing that when Malkin and Crosby were on the ice, it was in the Ranger zone 85% of the time. That's just ridiculous.
Well, they really turned it around from game one, I thought. You know,
I thought game one, they lost the first period. They won the second and the third, and then the overtime's a crapshoot. And then, but the other thing was Blausma coached. You know, I get on Dan all the time on this show.
No.
He had a good series. He's had a good series so far.
Well, they did play well. They looked really good. And I will say this, Lundqvist looked good.
Oh, yeah, Lundqvist. It could have been 7-0 that game.
He made some unbelievable stops.
He made some ridiculous saves.
And your boy Flower, who you always make fun of.
I don't think I
he
make
He played
I,
pretty good.
Shout out hockey.
I've been called a Flower sympathizer, actually.
Oh, you have, really?
Apologist. Yeah. I defend Flower more than most people.
Well, he played great.
Letang last night played.
And Letang was awesome.
And I get on Letang. You know I get on Letang.
You do. But I got to tell you, he really did. And he's a rushing defenseman who, when he's on his game, he looked good. He looked great last night.
And he got back. Yeah, he looked great. I mean, I have absolutely no complaints with any. Last night, that team looked like they could beat Boston or Montreal. And they looked like they could beat the Rangers. And I sat here a week ago and I was like, they play like that. The only team they could beat is the Flyers because I didn't think they would fall for the bullshit of the Flyers. I really didn't this year. And they've already shown that they're above it. Like Dorsett last night, he had the Zach Rinaldo shit for brains penalty that really helped the Penguins at the end. I call it the Berube. Because when Berube was a player, he would do that. 5 minutes left, you get an elbow guy in the head.
Yeah, that's dumb.
And then boom, Penguins got the power play, 2-0, game, set, match.
Well, Pens looked pretty strong. I was impressed with him last night. I thought that was the best I've seen him play in a long time.
Even Skidder, I love Scuds. He's had a rough playoffs. Even he had one bad shift that almost cost him. But other than that, he got the puck. The puck was up and out. And I don't know, against Columbus, the puck was on around, back and forth. I mean, it's like Columbus. So that's what I'm like. If we can't get the puck out against Columbus, what the hell are we going to do against the Rangers?
Now, why do you think they're playing better now?
I think they got a little scared. And I think Disco's coaching. And I think having Bortuzzo in the lineup, Orpik had a good series, but I think Bortuzzo was much needed. You see, a couple times he just took his 6'4", 230-pound frame, just ran it across the crease and knocked over everybody.
Massive.
Yeah. It's like a bowling ball.
Yeah. And he comes up, and they were taking the blue line last night. They were standing up. You know, even though Niskanen took a penalty, you know what? You hit someone in the face at the blue line 4 or 5 times, they're not going to be coming in as fast. They held the gaps at the blue line. They cleaned out the crease. They got the puck up.
And the Rangers, quite frankly, to me, looked a little tired.
I think they were a little tired, and they owned that Zuccarello line, which was scored every goal in the game one. They owned that third line.
The Rangers just played, didn't have a lot of zip, I didn't think, and you guys did.
Well, you know, there's something about killing penalties early that motivates your team, and I thought two of the penalties were legit. I mean, Kunitz got pushed into him. I'll take that call. Niskanen got his elbow. The Malkin call was a little weak on the board, a little weak call, but they killed those off. So then you knew we were going to get the next call. That's the way it goes. Yeah, and, you know, they took off from there. Look at the Penguins' power play against Columbus was no good. When your power play stinks, that's really a momentum
killer. Yeah, it sure is. It can be.
A real momentum killer.
Can be. Now let's talk about Nate's team.
Chicago Blitz. What's there to talk about? They're awesome.
They look great. They look great.
The NHL is better than I remember it ever being, and the Blackhawks are just better.
You know what?
Those are just better.
Those are good comments because you're right. I wasn't watching hockey for years and years, as everyone can tell. But this year I watched a little bit, and it seems better than ever.
Dude, they're lights out. This team is...
And your team looks great.
Even their role players are... I mean, they got guys like Bickle that'll come in and play like...
Bickle! What's going on with Bickle?
Does he have the most goals in the playoffs?
He's up there.
He's got five. He only had 12 all year. And he's got five in the playoffs.
And all of a sudden, it's like, I mean, yeah, well, he's out there with two superstars, and they're just, those guys pick up their game, and there's just more space, and he's getting more shots. And
he's got a shot.
Dude, he sniped twice. Those were two bullseyes that he hit.
That one wrister was unbelievable in the corner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What a shot.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got sweet hands for a big guy.
He's got nice hands for a big guy. You know, he does. And he's like exactly who you want, like in the slot. And
he's one of my power forwards that I love.
In the corners.
Yeah.
And that's a player that you need to, you know, to go deep into the playoffs, obviously. Like, you got to have at least one of those guys, you know, on playing forward for you. And that's what he does. He just comes in he stays in one place, and then the other superstars whip around in circles. And
well, that's a good point. Those guys are playing their usual superstar game, and they set him up.
Right.
And he's coming through.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Shaw got dinged. Like Shaw, he's a big guy. But the other thing I like about – I love everything about the Blackhawks. People say I love them too much in this show. But the thing is Bolig and Bickle, they're two big guys. You know what? They play such smart hockey. The inverse of Dorset. You know, they don't take – it's one thing to be tough. Like, the Kings are – like, the Kings, too. I mean, but they don't take stupid penalties.
Bickle was Getzlaffian last night.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? No, it's like the Blackhawks play tough, but they don't take those dumb penalties.
They're a smart team.
They kill you in the playoffs.
Smart team. Now, you have said that you think that the Wild – that it would have been a better series with the Avalanche.
Oh, 100%.
Well, it may have been.
And I'm not just picking on.
But I don't think the Wild's that bad. They've got some pretty good players. And my feeling on them is they played a better game than the score indicated.
I think the whole team, they know how to win. They know how to make plays. It was not even a question that they were going to beat. Well, I mean, once I started watching the game, the Avalanche in Game 7, they just seemed like they had a mental edge. I don't know if it's the coach or if it's just the personality of the team, the leadership, Suter and the rest of them, you know, but they definitely are not a team that you want to play. But I just think the Blackhawks are too good.
Too good for them. You're right. But I think Minnesota in the future is going to be good.
Sure. I mean, they could take out, you know, I think Minnesota could play with any other team in the league. The Blackhawks are just too good.
I don't agree with that statement. I mean, I think they beat the youngest team that Parisi and Palmaville and a couple of guys that wear the letters and a little bit better could you know, squeak out a win. I don't think they could beat anybody else, to be honest with you. Maybe Columbus, for Christ's sake. No. Here's why. But I tip my hat. Mike Yeo, he's an old Pittsburgh assistant coach. I love Yeo. I mean, Zach Parisi. I can love Zach Parisi.
He's great.
But I just think the Avalanche – I mean, like, the Blackhawks are just kind of playing with them. And it's like, it's 2-2. Okay, well, now here's three goals. I don't, you know.
Right.
I mean,
I think the Wild's going to be good in the future.
I agree with that statement. But I just think for this purpose, A, the Avs would have had home ice. Now, that would have been fun to make Chicago have to go in there and win two games. Or at least one game.
How did that?
I mean, to win. Well, the Avalanche played better in the middle. Because Chicago.
What seed was Avalanche? Chicago was the five seed.
No, Chicago was the one seed. they're in the brackets now. They're doing the divisional play now.
Oh, like right, the old days. Right. So, that's what I come in here for. I come in here during the playoffs. You guys catch me up on hockey.
No, but the Blackhawks. You know, the Blackhawks took their foot off the gas. The Kane and Taze were a little banged up, and they don't care where they end up. They're smart. Why do the Penguins care if they have 130 points if you're going to go out against Columbus? I like the Blackhawks, right? But it'd been fun to see them have to go into Colorado and win it. Yeah, they have to win a game. They have home ice.
They won both of
right,
them.
Right, right. But the other thing, probably. But the other thing too is the Avalanche. Chicago would have let the Avalanche skate around with all their young guys that can score. You know what I mean? And it'd been fun to see McKinnon and Duchesne and Stastny and Landeskog and those guys. They would let them. It'd have been funner than like, you know, Minnesota's not going to get them. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, you know, I don't know. I just think it'd have been a more exciting series. But ain't going to happen. So the Blackhawks will now we're going to hear the Blackhawks had to rest for 2 weeks while the Kings and the Ducks go seven games.
By the way,
that's going all seven.
Yeah, well, yeah, probably.
That's going seven. You're right. You're right.
You know, that's what's going to happen probably. Thank God.
By the way, Crawford was great, I thought, in that game.
Yeah,
too.
He was real good. Yeah. He was real good.
Oh, yeah, Crawford played good. He's a good goaltender. He's a great goaltender.
Yeah, they got a loaded team.
What's really loaded about the Blackhawks was they have four lines. They have six good defensemen.
Joe, did you see Jarmuschen take it in the teeth?
Yes.
Oh, I was surprised they didn't show him spitting teeth out.
I know. You know what's? You know what? He's very underrated. That guy.
He's a good player.
I think he's a very when Jarmuschen's your third defenseman, you got a really good team. I mean,
yeah, they're
loaded. I mean, that's really. I mean, he'd be the best defenseman on a lot of teams in this league. Lot of teams in this league.
Shout out to my boy Alex Brooks. He's works in personnel for the Blackhawks. He's a scout for them, and he does a nice job.
Brooksy's doing a good job.
You kidding me? They got the best roster in hockey.
Yeah.
Come on, Brooksy.
Yeah. I mean, that nucleus that they put together in the draft, I think, was before he got there. That's 6-7 years old.
Yeah, you know, but that nucleus is like patting the Penguins on the back. You're going to draft Crosby and Malkin. I mean,
yeah.
Well, you're going to draft Taves and Kane.
Like, what I like for them is they've kept them.
Right. What I liked about it, but now the contracts are coming. Now they're going to be it's going to be the Malkin Sid contracts because they're going to have to pay. They're going to have to pay him now. What I thought Chicago did that was great, which I've been blowing him forever about, is they got rid of the third and fourth line guys from the. And because you know what, those guys need to be hungry. The Penguins let too many of those guys, join the country club.
Yeah. But
you know what? No. Sid and Gino can join the country club.
Right.
They can have a second home. You guys. You guys could be a healthy scratch tomorrow. Like, everyone remember that. I mean, that's just the way it has to be. Yeah. You want to compete, you know?
That's funny.
All right, let's talk about the other series, Boston and Montreal. What do you think?
Montreal did what they had to do. They won game one.
Yeah.
Yeah, big fan of Montreal. My good friend Rennie Bork plays for Montreal.
Who is stepping it up and killing it.
He's killing it. He's killing it. It's great. It's great. His game has got it's become dynamic and it's good to see.
They're a good team, man.
Yeah, they're a great team.
And I love their goalie.
Frazier picked him. He loves Carey Price.
I love Price.
And with a good reason.
Yeah, Price is good.
I just think Boston wins that just because Julian's such a nails coach, and I just think that they're just such a physical tough team that knows how to score big goals.
Lucic is
killing it.
He's unbelievable. You know, I'm a Red Wing fan, and he destroyed us single handedly almost.
He's a beast.
Yeah,
there's a few games he disappears every now and then, but for the most part, he is a rock. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's good.
I love that guy. The way he plays, you know what's really improved on his game is his passing. He's made about five passes in this playoff that are like, I mean, you know, he looks like fucking Robitaille.
Well, and he'll jostle people around in front and get in front and stay
running
in there.
People. Yeah. I mean, Marchand's a little bastard. But I'll tell you.
Bergeron scores the biggest goals.
Bergeron is very underrated. He is clutch. That's like the people like, how did he make the Olympics and Giroud didn't make it? Because Bergeron's clutch.
Yeah, he's
like a Purple Heart.
Right. Yeah,
how about Subban?
Subban. I love Subban. He's just prick enough. He's just prick enough.
He can play.
But I mean, you know, he gets under the skin, but he's not a moron about it. You know, defensively.
Yeah.
He does his cheap shots, but not the injury cheap shots I hate. you know, just sticks and all this and that. He gets people off their game. He's got a great shot. He moves the puck with authority.
That's what I
love. He loved the guy from the his point blast. I mean, I love Subban. I love Subban.
So who do you see winning that series?
Boston.
I pick Boston, but like I said, Boston wins one. I mean, Montreal wins one of the first two. You never know. That's the Arabs versus the Jews. I mean, wait until they sing the national anthem in French in Montreal.
Which I can sing half of it.
Yeah. I mean, the echo. I mean, you know, the ghosts are going to be in Montreal. I mean, it's odd. I mean, every series. I mean, because I applaud watching Chicago. You know, just the greatness of them. And the other three series.
Well, those Montreal fans are
just amazing.
But in the big picture,
I think, like I've said a couple of times, I think Boston is weaker this year. I think Ginla's kind of an upgrade, but he always looks a little older. The longer the series go, he looks a little older. But their third and fourth lines are not as good as they were last year. They miss Sagan immensely.
They've got good goaltending, though, too.
Rask is great. But look what – they miss Sagan. Look what he did in Dallas. And they miss Peverly. And, I mean, you know, their third and fourth line aren't as good. And the guy's name who I spaced last week, Andrew Ference, who's now doing color commentary on MSNBC, he's not in Boston anymore. And Seidenberg's hurt. And to me, Dougie Hamilton, he has a nice shot. But he makes a lot of rookie mistakes. And that Torrey Krug has a nice shot. But he's the size of a lawn. He's the size of a lawn ornament, you know. And in the big picture, those guys didn't. They're going to get run over against the Kings or against. Pittsburgh won't be able to run them like that. It won't show as much against Pittsburgh, but I think it would show against the Kings or the Blackhawks.
Hamilton had their first goal.
Yeah, he's good in offense. I mean, but he takes the hooks, and he's a young kid, so he's not like having Andrew Ference, a 15-year veteran.
It was a nice goal. It was a big goal.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's that comeback by the Bruins was ridiculous.
Which you claim was the luckiest bounce you've ever seen in
hockey. I didn't say
pretty luckiest. Lucky bounce.
I didn't say luckiest. I just said it was the biggest bounce I've ever seen.
Right,
because that puck, the defenseman did not touch that thing, and he fired it from the boards. And when he shot it and it went in, I mean, it was on a line and it looked like the craziest snipe that of all time. And then they showed the replay. That puck goes and just jumps off the ice and bounces from the ice straight over the goalie's shoulder. I've never seen
that. Yeah, that was like a baseball bounce.
I've never seen it happen.
One that goes over your shortstop's head.
I've played hundreds of thousands of hours of ice hockey.
Well, you hope Price – I don't think Price – he's a good – Terry is good with goaltenders pretty much. I mean, he kind of screwed with Fleury's head a little bit, but hey, Fleury never had a disaster when Therrien was the coach. So, you know, I mean, I hope Price bounces back because it really wasn't his fault.
No, that was
for that
his
collapse.
Fault. That was a weird.
That was a pretty epic collapse. I mean,
that was a good one.
a bad bounce, bad bounce and all.
So you see Beantown winning this?
I just think they're a strong club. I'm going to go back to how good I think the Blackhawks are. I thought the Bruins could have beat them maybe last year in the Cup, and that means to me that's a sign of a really strong club. They're just big and mean, and they know how to play, and they're well coached, and they score clutch goals. So I think they win the series. I think it goes a while because I do think Montreal has finally made a jump to being
got a good team.
A legit squad. But and I'll be rooting for them just because
your buddy.
With my buddy, but I just think Boston is just a mean team with also a great nucleus, and they know how to win a Stanley Cup. So I don't think they're going to stop in this round.
I honestly think that Montreal has a better team 1 through 23 than the Boston Bruins.
I counted by the way, 13 Canadians are on the team, so that national anthem should get them pretty hyped.
Yeah, they'll be hyped.
That's funny though. I lost my train of thought. But 1 through 23, I think the Canadiens are a better team than Boston. But
who do you pick in the series?
I'm not going to keep jumping. I'm going to say Boston again, but because I picked them and they have home ice. But I just say, I think 1 through 23, Montreal has a better 23 players. But I think the top couple for Boston, you take Bergevin and Lucic and Chara, you know, That's just, you know, that's pretty just Chara. Chara himself is just like, it's ridiculous.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I mean, it really is ridiculous. It's almost unfair.
He's the secret weapon. Like he's the monster chained to the room.
I want to see him have a jump ball with Jeff Schultz. The guy they're bringing in for the Kings. Because they're both 6'6".
Is Chara
6'8"?
He's at least
6'9".
Yeah, he's
is he really?
He's a 7 footer, dude. Scott he gets is on those 6'8".
Yeah. Who's Jeff Schultz?
He's the new guy they're bringing in the Kings defense because, what's his name, got knocked out.
I missed that. Look at Frey's breaking news.
Yeah, man. He's coming in from their
hot stove news.
Yeah.
Was it Muzzin that got knocked out? Or Voinov? No. Voinov got knocked out.
No, Regier.
Regier got knocked out.
Yeah.
Where the hell was I?
You know who knocked him out? Teemu Selanne.
Laying the wood.
Yeah, man. He's a big dude.
Yeah.
So now they got to bring this kid
juicing,
in.
Juicing, according to Nate Craig.
Looking too smooth out there. Looking like a fired up 27.
Well, if you get over 40,
like Stephen A. Smith, you're like Nick.
Teemu Selanne.
You're like
if a man can move like that at that age, there is no dispute. The man is on drugs, and it is not a question.
You're like Jim Gray stirring a controversy with like a living legend. Teemu Selanne's never got a speeding ticket.
Well, if you get over 40, you should be allowed to juice. Come on.
I have zero problems with Teemu Selanne doing what he is a legend and the one of the best players to watch play hockey in the history of the game. So he can do whatever he wants. I'm just saying, a 43-year-old dude making that much space for himself amongst kids in their prime. It's impressive.
Speaking of living legends, once again, I want to thank, this has happened between the lesson we're on, thank the New Jersey Devils for stepping up and signing the living legend, the greatest player right now playing in the NHL.
Best mullet.
Jaromír Jágr.
In the history of mullets.
Jágr.
Yes, the best. If Jágr was Canadian, they'd be at a parade, he resigned to play another year. I mean, come on. He's incredible.
Always
incredible. Yeah. I love him. I thank you, Lou Lamoriello and the New Jersey Devils. Have Jágr. Now I feel like an idiot for spending like $700 to fly to Toronto to see him play his last one of his last games. I'll be back. I could have drove to Staples Center.
All right.
Well, I love.
You know, he's a genius player. Now there are some other.
Is that how big of a Jágr fan you are? I'm sorry, Frage. That's you went to Toronto to watch him play his last game.
This season I picked the.
Awesome.
Yeah. Because he.
He fooled you though. He's coming back.
I don't. Yeah. I'm glad he did. I love the guys. I think it's Vancouver where they dress. They all come in a different Jágr jersey, including Czechoslovakia. You ever see that highlight?
Yeah.
Those guys all come in mullet wigs, and they all wear a different jersey from his career.
I love it.
I love it too.
Now we've got some other non-playoff news that we should maybe touch on. It looks like the Sharks are going to bring McClellan back.
Yeah, that's what they said. And the GM got to
despite the big collapse.
You know, I don't blame him. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess you have to, but I think either Thornton or Marlowe has to go.
You think?
Yeah, it's like when the Penguins were totally blown it, I'm like, something has to change. Or after last year, you can't get swept and nothing changed. But nothing did change for the Penguins, and that's why I've been pissed.
Do you think a coach usually gets fired after a collapse like that, or I guess it depends.
Nowadays, yeah.
Well, you know what? Actually, Toronto's collapse was even worse, and Carlisle stayed, but Carlisle's probably gone this year.
How does it get worse than losing after being up 3-0?
Being up like being like 2-1, and then being up with 3 minutes with 10 minutes left, being up 3 goals. And losing to the Bruins last
collapse,
year. Yeah.
That's for sure.
In Toronto.
That's for sure.
San Jose is like, you know, hey, yeah, it was going to be a good season. In Toronto, there were sticks with, you know, Carlisle's head on top of, I mean, you know. Right. But, a lot of people are waiting to see what happens after these playoffs. Like, Carlisle may go if Disco's available or Sutter's of it. I mean, Sutter's probably saved his job now, but you never know, you know.
Oh, I would think so.
I would never. I love Sutter. Not as much as the great Lindy Ruff. But I love Sutter.
No one's better than Ruff in your book.
He's a good one. He's a good one.
Well, Sutter's done a good job there.
He's done a great job.
To get them going like they're going now, what have they won, five straight? Yeah.
I think that's the beauty of Sutter. He doesn't say much. He just, when he talks, people listen, you know?
Yeah.
And he's good with the
Stan
veterans.
Laurel.
He's good with the veterans and the kids. Them kids, you know, his kid, like Toffoli's playing good.
Toffoli's playing
Pearson,
good.
You know, he gets some coaches aren't good with the kids. And some coaches aren't good with the veterans. You know, he's good with both of them.
In my head, I just saw Sutter hosting a Veterans Day picnic, like serving hot dogs to children and like old guys in their military suits. When you said veterans and kids, I was lost for a full 3 seconds. I was like, he's been doing.
He is good with veterans.
That was my favorite moment of. That was my favorite moment when I was there when they won the cup. Was seeing Sutter get to hold it, because he's a Sutter brother. I think four of the brothers have won the cup. He's a lifer. It's when those lifers.
That's
get
a
to
lifer
touch the
family.
Cup. You know what I mean? Yeah. When the lifers get to touch the cup.
The whole family. They've all won a cup.
Yeah, like we were hanging out with someone from Tampa Bay, watching the games, and it was like we were talking about the teams. Like, remember Andrew Chuck? One with Tampa Bay. Remember, he was like 40 years old. They made him the captain. He played forever on so many shit teams. Had all those goals. Used to get beat up in front of the net for decades. Back when people used to get beat up in front of the net. Then he got to win the cup. It was fabulous. And speaking of people used to get beat up in front of the net, Kirk Muller got fired today.
Captain Kirk?
By Captain Ron Francis.
Wow.
Captain Ron.
Well, you know Ron was going to make some changes.
He's going to make some changes. Yeah, because, I mean, he's not going to let the Stahl brothers go golfing every single day. how can you have both Stahl brothers be that bad?
Yeah, that's
– I mean, really. I mean, you know. But, you know, Kirk Muller, I used to love him when he was with the Canadians. He was, you know the Kirk Muller's trivia question?
No.
He was drafted right after Suisse-on-Six. Mario Lemieux.
Is that right? Wow. Oh,
yeah. He's the only French I know.
Wow.
Well, that's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
You said
he was number two.
Yeah.
But I lost my love for Kirk Muller whenever. This is how long ago it was, though. When the Devils sucked, he refused to accept the trade to the Devils. And that was when no one in any sport did it. And I'm just like, why would a hockey player act like that? Like, that's just terrible.
Yeah, that's
like,
never
good. Like, he sat out. Like, that's just – I understand you went from the captain – of the Canadians to the New Jersey Devils before they were good. I mean,
that was a downgrade.
It's hard to remember when that was, but that was like 25 years ago.
You're still pissed. Well, you got to let it go.
I'm not pissed. It's just something I remember.
25 years.
It's just something I remember. You know, I think it's hard.
There's
to
a
lead.
Window.
I think it's hard to lead men after you kind of have that on your resume. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, well, you didn't. I don't know. I like Kirk Muller. But he did not do the job in Carolina. But only four teams can make it. That gets to my other point, or my point I want to make about it. People now are saying, it's a great thing for Columbus. They're always going to be in they're an up-and-coming team. You mean an up-and-coming team? Who are they going to beat? Like, in the Metropolitan Division. Where's Crosby and Malkin going? You think the Rangers are going to ever really suck? Well, Philly might be down next year because they'll figure out Berube. But then Philly never loses 2 years in a row. They will behead people before they have two bad years. The Devils are coming back. The Devils aren't going away. They were only like two people out. Captain Ron's,
Ron's going to bring them back.
Ron's going to bring Carolina back. And then you got the Washington Capitals. They just fired their whole team. You know, they're going to get someone to work with Ovechkin.
He'll be the last guy standing.
So all of a sudden, it's going to be like, oh, Columbus and Jack Johnson and, oh, yeah, the Reverend Horton Heat, who thought he was going to retire in Columbus. You know, how are they in the mix?
Isn't Columbus having attendance problems, too?
Well, they said, oh, their fans are into it. They only sold out the building five times this season, and three times was against the Penguins, when it's like all Penguin fans there. Mm-hmm. The other two were Detroit, when it's all Detroit fans.
Right.
They played to 80% capacity. 80% in the NHL, that's the only team that's maybe them and the Panthers. Every other team
Panthers have issues.
Every other team is like 100% capacity.
There's no excuse for that either. Columbus is the biggest market in Ohio. In Ohio, there's a lot of people that live in Ohio.
They should be selling out more games.
And it's the only team that ever wins anything in Ohio. I mean, having a winning season in Ohio is huge. When you think of the Indians, the Browns, I guess the Reds are usually good.
And the Buckeyes, but still, if you get a pro team in Columbus, I mean, It didn't used to be like that. Now it's huge. It's huge. It used to be a capital town, you know, and with a college, capital city and a college town, which is, you know, a decent amount of people, but not enough for a pro franchise. And then all of a sudden now it's like.
It's still not a major league city. Let's all admit it. I mean, Bettman, they wanted 30 teams. They picked, hey, let's pick Columbus. It's near Cleveland. I guess they didn't want one. So it's right. Like, you know, I mean, they should have put it in Seattle.
Now, I thought they had a pretty scrappy little team this year, but you say you see them getting worse.
Well, even if they get better, I mean, only four teams from the Metropolitan are going to make the playoffs. So that's what I'm saying. Who's going to disappear? Like, who are they going to?
Right.
I just listed everybody that they have to compete with.
Right. No, you're right. Yeah.
You know.
Well,
I know that. What's the do you know the GM in Columbus?
He's like the only foreign-born GM that there is. But John Davidson, the old announcer, old Ranger goaltender, Ranger broadcaster, is the president. And he's a good president because he brought the Blues back after the Hull era. They went in the crapper, and then he came in there and made the Blues a lot better. That's why the Blues are where they're at today, because of John Davidson. I mean, people may say, well, where are they at? Well, you know, they're in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean? Two teams we said would fold did, and one of them was the Blues, and the other was San Jose.
Yes. Yeah, God, it's just really pathetic for the Sharks.
Well, that was a shocker. I'm glad it happened because I'm a Kings fan.
So am I. But, I'm not complaining about it, but I mean, you just wish they could have. Wish they could have beat the Ducks.
Hey, they do have a good team.
Yeah,
you know,
and they play exciting hockey. They play exciting hockey. That's what's fun. To, you know, they don't trap it up and muck it up, and oh, every game's 1-0 and block shots and blah 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 blah. Oh, the other thing they have two other things. Tortorella. Speaking of blocking shots and mucking up, Tortorella was officially fired. This week.
Yeah, he's out. Yeah. Torch is gone.
Torch is gone. He's still getting like $14 million for four more years, though. Hey, so give me his agent. We need his agent.
He's still trying to get in the Calgary dressing room. What? Where do you think he goes?
I think the AHL.
Wow. Or
I think Hockey Night in Canada.
How about the KHL?
On the rain table, on the round table. Maybe the KHL. Hey, Keenan. Mike Keenan. Your old buddy Mike Keenan won
1940.
The Metalurgs, whatever. How do you pronounce the city where Malkin's from? Uh-huh. Metalurgs, Metaltorsky, whatever. They won the KHL.
Metaltorsky.
Hold on, let's find out.
They did really?
Yeah, they won the KHL.
Let's get a pronunciation
on
that.
See the word that you're trying to pronounce.
With Keenan as the coach.
Wow, that's where he is.
That's where he is.
Wow.
MSNBC must pay no money. Because Keenan was doing television like a year ago. He can't need the coach that bad to play.
To go to a metal shop.
Yeah. I mean, that's like 5 hours out of Moscow on a crap plane. I mean, like, it worries me when those guys, I don't want to see guys get killed on.
Yeah, they got bad planes.
Yeah, man, it's not good.
That is a tough one. I'm not going to make fun of you for not getting that show. Metalurg Magnitogorsk.
Wow.
It's Magnitogorsk.
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 Yeah.
I guess you do. Good night. Wow, that's
but
Metallica. Where are we?
It's like Pittsburgh. It's like the Pittsburgh of the of Russia back in the day.
Jeez.
But now Pittsburgh has different jobs and
that's where Keenan wound up, huh?
That's where he's coaching. Yeah, that's where he's coaching.
Man. Well, at least he won.
Right, and that's the other thing I wanted to announce. A great fan of the show, friend of the show, Twittered me and asked me who I thought the fastest team in the NHL was. And I said I would answer it on the show because 140 characters, you know how long-winded I am.
Yeah, we could, we could never get that out in a tweet. Let's see, who would I pick? Nate and I get to make a pick, too.
Oh, absolutely.
The fastest team.
I'm going to go with the Red Wings. We're pretty fast.
Yeah, the Red Wings look pretty quick. That was the thing about them. They were just a little bit undersized. They look pretty fast.
Yeah, we need
I don't know, man. I didn't watch enough hockey to be able to say who's the fastest team in the league this year. But look, when in doubt, I'm calling out the Blackhawks, man. This is the best team I've seen in 20 years.
They are the best
team. There you go. There you go.
Speed.
They got speed too.
They got speed. They do have speed. Yeah,
they do. Here's my answer. I think there's a couple different ways to define speed. I think if you ask me who the fastest guys, the team, the collection of the fastest guys are, I mean, look at how fast Edmonton's young kids are. Those guys fly. But you know what? Their defensemen never get them the puck. So it doesn't really matter.
Pittsburgh's got some burners.
Pittsburgh has some speedy defensemen who they move the puck up fast. So I think so if you ask me who the fastest team, in my opinion, probably of their better, the best guys who plays the fastest is the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Really?
Yeah. And the other team I think that plays fast, that's a fast team, that all guys move the puck, is the Montreal Canadiens. I think they play a fast game. The defensemen move the puck up. Most of the defensemen are fast, and almost all – even their Muckett guys are fast. Proust is fast, and Weiss is pretty fast for a big kind of luggy guy. That's my answer.
Now, can I say this?
Yeah. Oh, and the Islanders too, but we didn't see enough of them because they got screwed up this year. That's the other team, the Islanders. Tavares ripped his knee in half.
Yeah, and the Olympics.
They're not going away.
Yeah.
The Columbus thing can be better than the Islanders next year, and I'd hopefully not because I love Tavares.
He's a great player.
What a sin he got hurt in the Olympics.
Yeah,
sin.
Yeah. Well, we had Zetterberg get hurt too.
Yes.
You know, a lot of guys. Hey,
my feelings on that are well documented.
Yeah.
Stay home. Let the kids go. I missed 3 weeks of hockey.
He doesn't want the Stars to go to the Olympics.
I watched 3 weeks of hockey. I missed 3 weeks of hockey to see four good games.
Right.
Let the kids go.
Yeah.
Oh, Russia beats. Ooh, Russia beat us. Ooh, big deal. Let's give me a break. It would help the NHL because they'd have, like, people would know the Stars coming up.
No,
like,
you're right.
Hey, this kid, look, he helped America. Now he's on the Red Wings.
Right. That's probably true.
We kind of argued about this the last time I was on the show. I like the points that you made then, and I like it. I like it even better.
Oh, I'm
now.
Sorry. And if you were in the Olympic fire week, there was a week I had Olympic gusto.
Yeah, at one point he wanted the college guys to go back.
No, that was I was here for that show, I think.
Yeah.
And I because I was you were like, I'm not the Olympics. Why? I like the NHL. And then I was like, yeah, but it's the Olympics. Like that was it's the most exciting hockey gets. And you're like, yeah, but it would still be exciting if the kids go. And you're right. It would totally would be.
Now, what if you took a team like who won it this year? Union, which is I didn't even know how good they were, but they turned out to be great.
It's like the smallest. It's like 100. It's like there's more people in this building than go to Union College.
2,200 people go to Union College.
Yeah.
And they have a great little team, though. All right. So how would they do in the Olympics if you took the top college team?
They probably make the medal round. Well, Slovenia made the medal round, so I mean, they got to have three. They got to have they have to have pretty good to win the national championship in college. You're a pretty good team.
Well, and you got that team thing going for
you. Yeah,
right.
As I said, I think they'd be in the medal round. Well, they'd be just around the medal round. Slovenia made it in. Maybe they would beat Slovenia if they just put two guys to surround Kopitar the whole time.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
You know? I mean, that's what they used to do back in the day.
Yeah.
Teams don't do this much anymore, just shadow guys.
They make the medal round, and then they'd get fucking murdered, dude.
Right?
Yeah, they probably would.
They'd get fucking murdered. They should make the team that loses the NCAA championship game go to the Olympics.
But here's what it was, though. When everyone was saying, oh, there's going to be no fighting, there's going to be just great play, what really happened was it was like the guys weren't used to all that big ice. It took them a week and a half to get used to playing on big ice. They were all scattered. They were all on the outside. All the teams played defensively, played traps.
Yeah, you'd have to,
if you will. And there was like four good games, and that was the and they showed the games at 4 a.m.
So
getting new fans.
Nothing like getting up at 4 to watch a bad game.
So getting new fans. What
1-0.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, people that were watching the Magic Bullet infomercial then, the NHL captured those fans. I mean, you know.
Well, the Magic Bullet's worth watching.
I have. That's what's sad.
But
my favorite is the Johnny Carson infomercial and the Dean Martin roast. I've been known to sit and watch those like three times in
those
a row.
Those are wild.
It's like the best thing to watch.
Yeah, they're great. Well, you know what? We got. What do you think in Kings and Ducks? What do you think is going to happen, guys?
Kings in 7.
That's your pick?
Yeah.
That'd be my pick, too.
Kings in 7.
All right. We all agree on something.
Yeah, the Blackhawks will be sitting around waiting.
No, Joe, you're full of shit about this.
Well, you know what? Ducks are a pretty darn good team.
Yeah.
But I just think Kings are on a roll.
It might not even go seven. But I like to see, like I said, Getzloff and Perry. They're going to be a turning of the tide here. They're going to turn it on. And, you know, like in human nature, even if the Kings get up 2-0, human nature, Ducks are going to come back.
They moved as a team. They were imposing with their forecheck. I don't
think
Ducks are going to get lost in this series at all. I think they're going to win several games.
Yeah.
Three, to be exact.
We're going to hold you. Yeah. I wonder if the Ducks are going to break out the orange. Isn't that weird?
The orange is weird.
The
orange is gross. But we were talking
about orange out. The orange crush. We need the orange crush of the gold rush. And
maybe
the
we don't.
And the white
maybe
out.
We don't need that. I'm just kidding. So, I just don't like the orange.
Yeah, I don't like the orange at all. Not for 1 minute. That's we're going to lose in the series.
Yeah.
That's going to lose.
What are they,
the
Caltrans? Come on.
I'll tell you what, the way the Kopitar went around them, they were like an orange color.
Man.
That pass was like.
Good analogy.
That pass was like Sega hockey.
It was great.
That pass was just boom, boom,
that
bam.
Was pretty awesome pass.
Yeah, that was it.
DC.
Well, let's leave on a good note then.
All right.
Talking good, happy times. Nate Craig.
Nate Craig's awesome.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to be here.
We love it.
Yeah, go man. Blackhawks.
Yeah,
there
the
you
Hawks.
Go. Yeah, we. You know, I think the Hawks.
Who wins Hawks and Kings if they had to play? What do you think?
See, I mean, I think that the Hawks. Nobody's beating the Hawks. I'm sorry. I mean, hopefully I'm not jinxing my team. They're just that good. They're just good.
Those were my two picks. I've said that was my number one pick, and then my black. No, what's that called? The wild card, or not the wild card. Remember the pick was your dark horse.
Right.
I said it was the Kings when they were down. I'm not going to pick that. Because
you did call that.
Because let's wait until it happens.
Kings
let's,
are loaded.
Let's wait until it happens.
Kings are loaded.
I want to see them go through. I mean, hey, if the Blackhawks struggle to beat Minnesota and the Kings sweep the Ducks, you know, I'm going to – that's what we got next week.
That's not happening.
All right. Well,
good
we'll
series.
Have you back. The door is always open, Mr. Craig, to come in.
Yeah, man.
We need a spell checker and a pronunciation guide.
Yeah.
All the time, and you're more than welcome to come in. We love you. Nate Craig.
No, he got that Russian name, but even then no one could pronounce it even after we got it.
But he's great. And he this comes out Friday, and he plugs anything you want to plug?
Yeah, what's the plugs? You got anything
I'm
cooking?
On the Funny or Die Oddball Comedy Tour tomorrow night in
great.
Irvine. At the
yay!
Show. Awesome.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you.
I'll be in Kansas City with the Queen this Friday night. It'll be coming. So if you're listening and driving, come on down. It's probably almost sold out, but the Queen's packing them, but as always. And then back on the All-In Tour, Bill Burr. Or the all that he provides us with, and in like a couple weeks.
That's another great tour.
Yeah, and the I'll plug the other show another time. And thank you for we're Puck Off Podcast on Facebook. Like us, I love fucking with you guys on Twitter. Keep it up, and the great captain, Original Six, Mr. Frazier.
I'm at Laugh Factory Friday night, Thursday night, Ice House, and tonight at the World Famous Comedy Store. And the only thing I want to say is a shout out to Scriven's wife. She made it through the winter in Edmonton. Go Kings!
It's still winter there.
Yeah, still winter.
Well, thanks everybody.
Thanks guys. Thanks Nate. Good night.